He said, when you pray, you should pray like this, Our Father. To me, that's incredible that I'm included in that. Our Father. And that's amazing. If I speak to my brother, I would say, Our Father. He would understand what that means. He knows that I'm speaking of our dad. And so Jesus said, when you pray, pray Our Father. He says this, He's not only my dad, but He's your dad also. That's incredible to me, to know that we have a Heavenly Father who wants us to know Him. That's why He said, and Paul put it this way, he said, whereby, once the Spirit of the Lord indwells us, we understand how to cry out. We cry, Abba, Father. And one translation puts it, we cry out, Daddy, Daddy. I mean, you know, when the kid's in trouble and they need daddy, they'll cry out, Daddy. And that's what we have been told through the Scripture, that no matter what we go through, no matter what we face in life, we can cry out to our Heavenly Father, and He's faithful to answer our cry. And that's what happened with the children of Israel. He said, I heard the cry of my people. And so how many thank God for that? Any good? He's amazing. We've been in a series called The Grace Effect. I will continue in some of that this morning in combination with a couple of other things that I want to make available to you concerning fathers. So I want to do it in conjunction with the main series that we've been dealing with. I've been looking at the relationship between faith, obedience, and grace. So when you look at grace, and you look at faith, and you look at obedience, you have to see their relationship. And there's an amazing relationship between the three. And that's something that if you take one of those out the equation, it's impossible to have a relationship with God. And so I think once you know that, it's significant that you understand all three of them. Grace is important, because without grace, none of us can be saved. We're still in our sins. Our sins are ever before us, and we're going to receive the penalty that comes with sin, and that's eternal punishment. How many know that we have a God that wants us to know that He doesn't want us to be destroyed? He said, I would that none perish. How many understand that? That's what He said, I would that none perish. Does that mean that includes me and you today? He doesn't want any to perish, but all come to know Him. And the way we come to know Him is not because somebody says, this is who God is. We come to know Him, for by grace are ye saved through faith. So grace is something that none of us could work for. None of us could obtain grace on our own. We couldn't get there if we tried to put all of our best days together. How many can remember some good days where everything went right? I know a lot of times we don't focus on that, because most of the time we're thinking about the days that went wrong. And I'm sure we have a list of those, right? When stuff just didn't work and stuff broke and we had a bad day. But if we took all of our good days, the days that we did everything right, and we added them all together, we could not buy grace. Grace cannot be bought. It cannot be obtained on good behavior. It can't be obtained because we know somebody. You can't obtain grace because you are a person who attends church. You don't obtain grace because you're a person who prays. Grace is a free gift from God. It's something that God gave when man didn't deserve getting it, but God did that. That's why it's called the grace of God, or the unmerited favor of God. It's not something that we merited, but it was unmerited. And God gave that. So who did He give grace to? He said, whosoever. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That includes all of us here today. It doesn't make no difference what we've done in our lives. It makes no difference what types of mistakes we made. Because I can tell you, according to God, as He looks in this room, we're all together in the same boat. We've all made mistakes. We've all messed up. We've all had days where we wish we wouldn't have done this or done that. And we've sinned. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. But for by grace, the grace of God is something that God awarded to us, and He has to show us. Because grace is a big word, when you try to understand it. It's hard to wrap your mind around how somebody can do something for somebody that they don't deserve. So how did God get grace in picture form for us so we can understand it? He sent his only son. That's how he did it. That's in picture form. He sent his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And this is what is recorded in the scripture. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So we know that Christ was sent for us to have a relationship with God. Timothy puts it this way. He said, for there's one God, and one mediator between God and men. And who is that? The man, Christ Jesus. And so keep that in mind. There's one God and there's one mediator. And so we have to have a mediator. We cannot understand God in our own terms. We can't understand God in our own understanding and our own wisdom. It takes somebody to come and mediate so we can understand. And so Christ being that mediator, we have an understanding of who God is. We can see the love of God in Christ Jesus. We can see God's patience with us in Christ Jesus. So all the things that we need to know and need to see, it comes through that mediator. For there's one God, one mediator between God and men, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that. But in this series, we're dealing with this particular section that we're on now. We've been in this for quite some time, so it's impossible for me to review the entirety of it. But I want to spend some time dealing with obedience is the evidence of our faith. Obedience is the evidence of our faith. And so I want to make sure that we are clear on some of those things. But we'll get started here in a minute. That'll be slide 71. Sorry, sister. But I want you to do this with me. How many have your Bibles with you? I want to cover this on fathers. I don't know how far I'll get on this particular part of the series, but I definitely need to cover some of these scripture. If you have a Bible with you, I won't have these on the slide. If you don't have a Bible, slide next to someone, or if you have a smartphone or anything like that, usually you could just pull it up on one of those. They're so smart, you can pull up the Bible. And I want you to see it for yourself. I want you to see what the scripture says. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, there's something that's significant there that I think is important for us to understand about who our Father is. How many know that we have a wonderful Father who loves us and cares for us? And this is how I'm joining these two things together. Because it's Father's Day, I want to talk about our Heavenly Father, and I want to show you that we didn't get here on our own. I was looking at some of the photographs of people who were in these photographs, and what does a photograph do? It captures a moment that we can forget. Sometimes we forget those moments. We try to remember them, but sometimes they get lost in our memory. But the photograph, it captures the moment. And what does it do? It brings back to your remembrance that moment that was in the past. And it makes you want to smile. You know, I was watching some of these photos and folks were smiling in them. And there were moments of joy and something was going on at that moment that made you do that. And then we go through life after the photograph and we have situations and struggles. And sometimes we forget those moments. Well, I want to tell you that the Word of God is like a photograph. The Scripture is like a picture. It reminds you of the moment. And how many want to be reminded of the moment that our Heavenly Father declared who He is over us? Sometimes we got to be reminded. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 6, there's something there that I think is significant for us to look at and to come to some understanding. It said, but to us, there is but one God. To us, there is but one God. Who is that? The Father. And that's important. So I want you to see that. You can see it so clear that God wants us to understand that about him. How many see that in 1 Corinthians 6? It says, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things. Now, who are all things of? The Father. And we in him. We in him. And, notice the conjunction there, means that the thought is continuing. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So, this is clearly a distinction between the one Most High God being our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the relationship we have through Christ and the Father. So some would say, well, as long as I have a relationship with Christ, I'm in good shape. You have to understand, Christ is the one who points us to the Father. We have to know who our Father is. We have to know the attributes about our Heavenly Father. We have to understand that in the end, in Corinthians, the 15th chapter, we see that it shows us plainly, in the end, the one, when he says the one in that Corinthians text, that he's going to subject all things to, that's Christ. The Bible's clear that Christ is going to be the King of kings, meaning he's the King of all those who will be on this planet Earth. He's the King of kings. Those kings there are earthly kings. Christ is King of kings, but he's not King of the universe. Who's King of the universe? His Father. Remember that. He says, so the one I subject things to, he will be subject to the one who subjected all things to him. And so there's clear terms there that Jesus knew who his Father was, his Heavenly Father. I reminded of this as I was going over this and just contemplating all these things in my mind this week. And I was sharing this with Brother Josh in our conversation this morning. And I think about how incredible God is and how good he is. And you think about our relationship that we have with God, him being our Father. And I thought about this. Jesus was a little boy, and I was looking at these kids up here and how they come and they'll participate, and they'll, you know, kids will just about do anything you ask them to do, and you practice with them, and you get them up here on the day of the event, and they'll just clam up on you. You know, they're like, I ain't never done this before, and I don't want to. But during practice, they're all, you know, in the motions and everything. But, you know, kids, you can train them, and they'll know some things. My daughter gave me a card this morning. She brought me a gift and gave me a card. And in her card, she was saying how she's thankful that she has a father who was an example to her. And I thought about that. And I said, sometimes, you know, we don't realize that our children are looking at us to be an example. And it wasn't always in her life that she made right decisions. But in the end, the Bible says if you train them up in the way they should go, when they're older, they won't depart from the faith. And so I thought about Jesus. He's 12 years old. How many's got a 12-year-old? Anybody's got a 12-year-old in here? All right, Brother Josh, you got a 12-year-old, two 12-year-olds, all right? At 12. Because Joseph, his earthly father, was such an example to him, and his mom, Mary, was such an example to him, at 12 years old, they brought him to the church. 12. And they got busy doing what they were doing because of the feast and whatever was going on, that they lost track of Jesus. And they was departing from the city, and you know, Joseph must have looked at Mary and said, where's Jesus? And so they return back and they're looking for him. And guess where they find him at? He's still in the church. And he's talking with those who are leaders in the church at 12. He's speaking to them. And so they ask him. They said, you know, what are you doing? Where have you been? He said, I am about my Father's business. That's the words he used. It's pretty incredible. He's 12 years old, and he already knows who his heavenly... Now, was he speaking about Joseph? No. Did he love Joseph? Absolutely. He loved him as his earthly father. But he was speaking of his heavenly father. He said, I'm about my Father's business. That's what I was doing. I wasn't running around. I wasn't playing. I wasn't getting into trouble. I wasn't doing any of those things. I was about my Father's business. Now, the only reason Jesus was able to do that is because somebody in his life taught him. Somebody was an example to him. Because he had to learn. The Bible says after that, we don't hear much about Jesus until, 18 years pass. So we don't read. You read the Bible and you'll see at 12 we have this magnificent story. And then you don't read anything else until he's 30. And you wonder, you know, what's going on in that gap? I can tell you we have a verse of scripture that says he grew. He grew in favor. He grew in wisdom. To grow in something means you didn't already have it. How many understand that? That means we're not, somebody said, well, you know, of course it was Jesus. So obviously he's going to be about his Father's business. Well, I want to tell you, you have to understand he had to learn those things. He said this with his own mouth. He said, the things I'm teaching you, I didn't get from myself. I mean, he didn't obtain them already because he was the Son of God. He got those things because somebody taught him. He received that teaching, applied it to his own life. Therefore, he grew in wisdom and favor and the grace of God. He grew in that. And that's what we have to do. We have to grow in it. So we can't say, well, he was able to do that because he was Jesus. A lot of folks get that because, you know, he done miracles and he walked on the water and he fed the 5,000 with a boy's meal. And so he had some supernatural power that we don't have. Therefore, we have an excuse that we can behave the way we do. And he just had it made. Well, I want to tell you, he didn't have it made. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, just as we are. Tempted in all points. He struggled. He was up against it. He had days that wasn't going his way. Do you understand that? Let me ask somebody something. How many's ever been deserted by everybody that you ever loved and cared about? How many's ever been beaten with a cat of nine tails that's got sharp objects on it until your back opens up so wide that you can see the bones? How many's ever had your beard plucked out? How many's ever had you, all this was beat upon with rods, punched in the face so badly that he couldn't even be recognized as a human being anymore? The Bible says his visage was changed. He didn't look human. He was so brutally beaten. So he had some bad days. Would you agree? Then they took him out and nailed him to a cross. I would say he had some bad days. Do you understand that? His own disciples deserted him. They denied knowing him. That would be hurtful, wouldn't it? It would. You would be hurt. You and I get our feelings hurt over smaller things than that. It had to be hurtful to him. But how did he maintain his status and relationship with God? Because he understood who his Father was. He understood that. It was clear to him that his Father would never let him down. That's why he said this. He said, okay, nevertheless. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not what I will, your will be done. I trust you so much as my Father. I know that no matter what happens to me, you're going to come through for me. No matter what I face, you're going to come through. We have one example of that in the Old Testament. The Bible says that Abraham was told by God, he said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and go to the place that I'll show you. So we have a situation where we have a father and his son. And he takes this only son that, according to God's word, even though we know he had a son named Ishmael by another woman. But God declared, this is the one I'm going to do everything through. It's going to be the one you had with Sarah. So you take your son, now watch what God says, your only son, Isaac, and you go and sacrifice him to me. So he takes the wood, he takes the son, and he starts on his journey, and the son begins to ask the father. He says, Father, I see that we have the wood, and but I don't see the lamb. Where's the lamb that we're going to sacrifice? And this is what the father says to the son. He says, son, God, our heavenly Father, will provide himself a lamb. He didn't say to the son, I'm going to sacrifice you. But he knew that's what God required of him. So what did he do? He gets there and he builds the altar. The Bible says, clearly says, he laid the wood in order. He didn't just grab it and chunk it up there and say, okay, God, you get everything. I don't get anything. I have this boy here and you want him. I don't understand this relationship. He laid the wood in order. I'm just wondering what was going through his mind. And he took his son and he laid him on the wood. Now the son's realizing, okay, Dad, you said God would provide himself a lamb, and you just tied my hands behind my back and you put me on the wood. Wow. Think about that situation. So Abraham knew this. He had a promise from the Father, his heavenly Father. And the Father promised him, your seed is going to be like the sand on the sea, like the stars in the sky. Your seed. And I'm about to slay my only seed. This is it. Now you got to understand, Abraham's over 100 years old. And he's about to slay his only son on an altar. But he had a promise. And that promise was God will provide himself a lamb. I just know he will. And so he raises up the knife to slay his son, to sacrifice his son to God. He is already committed to it. Lord, I'm giving my son to you. Somehow you know what you're doing. And I trust you as my father. You make no mistakes to me. You're my heavenly father. I'm just following what you want. So he makes this commitment, and he's got the knife raised up, and he's on his way down, and the angel of the Lord stopped him, the Bible says, and said, the voice of the word of God came forth to him and says, now I know that you trust me. Now I know. I know Abraham, and the scripture says it was counted to him, Abraham, as righteousness. Because he believed God. He believed what his father had declared to him. And he looked to the side, and in the thicket, the ram was caught. And there came to pass, God provide himself the lamb. And it's a significant picture of what we have in Christ. I want to tell you, the lamb has been supplied for all of us. Really, we should have all been crucified and given that death penalty because of our sin and our iniquity. But what did God do, our Father? He supplied himself a lamb in his only begotten Son, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And to me, that's incredible that God would do such a thing for all of us. And that's what he wants for all of us. And I'm so thankful that God gives us the opportunity to hear his truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So think about that verse of Scripture. How many gods do we have? One God, and he's what? He's our Father. Remember that. So I want you to get that. If you get anything out of this service today, I want you to get that. When you pray, when you're praying to God, remember the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? So who they're going to pray to? They're going to pray to God. He said, well, when you pray, you should pray like this. So he gives them an example. Our Father. Think about that. Our Father. Notice that. Some people say, well, I got to approach God. I got to make sure I'm approaching this super being. And so I'm just going to, you know, maybe I'll say God, maybe I won't. So what do I do when I pray? The first thing I say is Father. Because I need to know that I'm in a relationship with Him. He's my Father and I'm His Son. People want to pray to God as some being that's unreachable. He's not that. He never declared Himself to be that. He declared Himself to be our Father. And so we are. That's significant, very significant. Let me tell you why. If I needed something and I was went to somebody that they had everything. I mean, they had all the money that you could imagine, but I didn't know them. I knew of them, but I didn't know them. I heard about them. People speak about them all the time, but I don't know them personally. They're a very important person, but I don't feel comfortable even going and knock on his door and say, hey, I need this. Because can he give it to me? Absolutely. Does he have it? Absolutely. He has more than enough. But I don't feel like I can approach this person because I don't know him. I know of him. I know they're incredible. I know that he's rich, but I can't approach him. But what if I went to my Father? I can approach him because he's my dad. And that's the relationship that most people don't know about God. They understand him as God, and he's this big thing. He's got everything, and maybe or maybe not. I don't know if he will. He might heal me. He might give me strength. He might save me. I don't really know. Maybe he will. But if you knew him as your Father, you would not hesitate to go and ask him. Matter of fact, you might just go sit down and have a cup of coffee with him. You see the difference in a relationship? That's where we're missing it in the church. We ought to be training people. We're not just here to come to church to take up some space on a Sunday. We're talking about a relationship that can be with you when you go home from this building. And nobody's with you, and you're going to have that alone moment. It's going to happen to every one of you that's here. I want to ask you to do something. Take a moment in your life and just look up and say, Father. And you come back and tell me what happens. Because I can tell you'll never be the same. That's how incredible our God is. He's not something that, and just imagine this. He stepped out on a balcony of time. And he spoke the world into existence. You think about that. And that's the one who wants me to call him Daddy. That's incredible to me. If folks wonder why you keep going in this thing, church hadn't gotten old to you yet, not a chance. It is new every morning. It is new every day. When I think about the Lord, when I think about my Father and what he's done for me, it just makes me want to pursue him more and more because he's that incredible. And that's something that we can't let go of. We have to hold on to it with all our might. So Jesus says, if you want to pray correctly, this is how you should start your prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you get that? Do you see how much more the rest of it means when you start out understanding who the Father is? Absolutely. When I pray, I feel like he's going to do it. He's my dad. It's absolutely going to happen. He's my Father. I trust him. I remember when I always used this story, and my kids grown now. It was easier to use it when they were little. But my son, when he was born, you know, I'm gonna teach him some stuff. And so when he was little, I don't care if what came on, if it was a cartoon that come on and it was somebody who was flying, he took off. And a little while later, if it had a cape on, he came back with the pillowcase around his neck, tied, you know, and he's just ready. If it was a cowboy, he run, come back, he had guns on his hips. You know, he was just, everything he seen, he just went. And the thing about it is, it seems I don't know how it happened, but he always had the props in his room. I don't know where that come from. But they just like magically appeared from his mama. Amen? So anyway, one day we're at the house, and he comes in the bedroom, and he's standing there. I said, hey, I want to show you something. And he's looking at me. So I picked him up and I put him on the bed. I said, all right, jump. And he looks at me, boy, and does like that. You're going to catch me? I said, well, sure I'm going to catch you. I'm always going to catch you. And boy, he's thinking about it. He's having to go through it in his mind. And I'm thinking, I wonder what he's thinking. Well, it's my dad. I'm sure my dad's going to catch me. But he had to process it. I said, jump. So boy, there he goes. He jumps and I get him. I said, I told you. So the next time I say jump, I got to be ready. Because I say jump, he's no more thinking. He's done. He's unsettled it. So I told him, I said, turn around. And he's looking at me. I said, now just fall back. I'm a catcher. And then he paused. He paused and I said, no, seriously. I'm going to be right here. So boy, then he'd just fall back and I'd catch him. So I put him, do it again. And that he wasn't thinking, he wasn't looking back. He didn't know if I was there or not. I'd put him up, boom, and I had to watch because I put him up and I was like, okay, we quit now. I'm leaving the room. How many want to get that way with God? Huh? When he says, go ahead and jump, and you just go all in. It's okay. Is everybody going to understand your relationship with God? Probably not. Listen, I've been doing this for a long time. I was sitting down the other day, and it's amazing that almost 30 years ago, the Lord called me into ministry. You know what he told me? He said, it's okay. Jump. And it's been so much easier for me to jump since then. And there's times in my life that God will say, okay, we're going to do something different. It's going to be different. Turn around. And I was like, God, are you there? You going to be there, God? You sure? Turn around. And when you let yourself go and you know he's there, it's just something about it. It seals the relationship. You know that you can trust him. And let me tell you, that's all our Heavenly Father wants. He wants you to get up every day. He wants you to wake up and know that your Heavenly Father, he'll always be there. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. You feel forsaken. Anybody ever felt forsaken? You ever felt let down? Listen, you know why we feel those feelings? It's because we live in a real world with real people, and everybody's got our own. We got our own situations and issues that we go through, and we get emotionally attached to things that are going on around us. And when somebody's lets you down, you feel let down by everybody. But let me just tell you, when folks let you down, God, your Father, will never let you down. You say, well, do we have an example of that? Well, we do in the Scripture. We do. Jesus was no doubt a father figure in the lives of the disciples. No doubt he was. But when it got tough and it got hard and got difficult, stuff wasn't going correctly. It just began to disperse and it began to divide. They began to separate. They began to question their relationship. And I'm wondering many times in reading that it must have made Jesus wonder about his own relationship. And this is what he said. Father, the glory, the promise that I have with you from the beginning, I'm trusting you that you're going to do. And this is what Jesus had to do. He had to turn around and he had to trust that even though I die, yet shall I live. Even though I die, I know I'm going to be crucified, but I know you're going to raise me up. He had to trust to the point that even though he laid in the grave for 3 days, his Father was going to raise him up. Sometimes in life it gets difficult. It takes all of our energy and all of our strength and courage to just jump facing our situations. In life, there are going to be some situations that you're turned around and you don't know. You got to put your full trust in God. Some folks say, well, you know, it's hard to trust somebody you can't see. Well, I hadn't seen my brain, but I know it's there. Faith says, It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's faith. Trusting God and believing God as real fact doesn't make sense to me, but I know God said what he was going to do. And that's what Jesus did. He did it wonderfully. How did he do it? Because he's the Son of God. Obviously he could. What are we? Are we not his children? Are we not? Let's look at the text. Again, and I get all these things together and I put all these slides and I say, well, this is how I'm going to go. And then God has a different plan. Matthew 23:9 says, call no man your father upon the earth. Does that mean we can't have our earthly father? He's not saying that. The context means that no one should be your heavenly father. No one should be recognized as the father of all fathers on earth. For one is your father, one, which is in heaven. And how many of you know who that is? Talking about God the Father. Amen? Ephesians 1:3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So he's our God and Father. I'm giving you these scriptures to show you that it's more than a relationship with God. You can't, somebody say, I believe in God, therefore it's more than that. It's more than just believing in God. How many of you know the demons believe in God? Is he their father? No. See, they don't obey him. They don't keep his commandments. They don't do any of those things. Malachi 2:10 says, have we not all one father? That's a question. So think about it. He says, have we not all one father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our father? So keep that in mind. We have one Father, one God created us, and he said we should not profane that, but we should make sure that we're understanding the covenant that he made with our fathers. Psalms 68:5 says this, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. Think about that. People struggle with this a lot of times, and then we have situations where people feel like, you know, I don't have a father. And we've had that here, and I know some of our members here, some of them never knew their father, and that can weigh on you. And some folks here, their father may have passed away tragically. And so you deal with those issues, and we see that all the time. And you can be in settings where these things happen. And some people, their father just passed on. They've gotten up in age or whatever the situation is. But you feel that. You feel that void. There's something there. And you don't think God, our Heavenly Father, knew that? That's why he said, I'm a father to the fatherless. That's incredible to me. Before you was without your father, I am your father. And if you ever lose your father, I'll be still your father. And he'll fill the void and the emptiness that's there. And only a heavenly father that loves us and cares about us has the ability to do that. So I want you to keep that in mind as you go throughout this day and you're giving God the glory and the praise and the one. He is so good to us. So a father to the fatherless. 1 Peter 1:3, he says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So what did our Father do? What he did was absolutely incredible. Christ died, and what did he do for his son? He raised him from the dead. What does that have to do with me? Because that same hope that Jesus had that his father would raise him, though we die, are you here? Anybody ever know somebody that you love dearly who's passed away? Anybody here understand this concept? Do you understand that one day, should the Lord tarry and we get older or whatever happens in our life, that death is real? But just as real as death is, I want to tell you about something else that's real, just as real. There's a Father who will raise you from the dead. He said, if I raise my son from the dead, you're joint heir with him, I'll raise you from the dead. To me, that's incredible. If you want to know why I do, I don't come to church for the moment so I can feel good for the moment, so I can take care of my conscience for the moment. I come here to prepare my life and get my heart right, for one, though I die, yet shall I live, because I have that promise. I want to learn all I can about it. If I told you that there was a secret, there was a book that you could read, and if you read it all and you study it good and you'll go through the pages of this book, you'll be able to find out where there's a multi-million dollar stash of gold. You'd say, I want that book. Where that book's at? And then, and if I tell you this, look, you don't even have to buy the book. I'm giving them away. Giving? Free? I get a free book to tell me how to get multi-million dollar stash of gold. I want that one. And so, if we run it on the news, we'd line them up from Belchase to Venice. Do you hear me? I'm here to tell you about something more precious than gold. I'm talking about eternal life. And as a book, it's free. As a book, it's free, absolutely free. You could read this, and it'll get you to eternal life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So why do we come to church? We come here to collectively come together and spend time together, going over these precious things that ignites us again and again to keep pursuing the things of God. He is so incredible. And so I want to encourage you, if he raised Christ, he's going to raise you. What do I have to do to assure myself of that? We have to just be obedient to the Word of God. Remember, we're talking about this in our series, obedience. The relationship between grace, faith, and obedience. And you say, is it for everybody? Absolutely. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And it's incredible, the amazing things that God does for us. In Isaiah chapter 63, verse 16, he says this, doubtless thou art our father. He says, without a doubt, you are our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. You think maybe they got a hold of something? The prophet Isaiah is prophesying, and he's writing in this text. And to me, it's absolutely incredible what I read here. He said, no doubt, thou art our father. Notice how they understood it. Not talking about just God, not some creator. Even though they recognized him as that, and they gave him reverence of that, but he takes it a step further. You know, you can know him as creator. You can know him as this supreme being. But when you know him as your father, it becomes a moment where you understand God in a different way than you ever have. And that's that's one of the things that Christ paid for, that we can know him as our father. So no doubt thou art our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. I mean, thank God for that. It's absolutely incredible. In John 14, and this will be our last reading here today, in John chapter 14, you can turn there if you can. I'll read several verses. In John chapter 14, we'll start reading with verse number 7. We'll read on down to 15. Verse 7, it says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. This is Jesus. He's speaking. He's the speaker here. And he says, if you have known me, you would have known my Father also. from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Who is he asking for? This is Philip saying, show us the Father. Now I want you to see this in verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me? Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so these are clear, to me, they're clear scripture. In their clear terms, and I want you to think about what he's reflecting on and how we can understand this and grab hold to the principles that's been set forth for you and I as coming to understand our Father. Jesus said, if you've known me, you've known the Father. And that's important that we grab hold to it. How many anybody's ever seen man's grew up in the community. He's known by everyone. He gets married, comes back, lives in that community. He has children, and he has this son. And his son is growing up, and everybody says, they go visit somebody, and they look at him and say, tell that's yours. Anybody ever had that happen? It happened to me just yesterday, and I've done gotten older. I was getting me an ice cream. Yep, a yogurt. And I had my back turned, and somebody said, you a Morris? I turned around. I didn't know who it was. It was a lady. I had no idea. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I could tell. Now, why would she can tell? If I didn't know her, I couldn't tell you her name still. And anyway, she knew our family, and it had been many, many years, and I talked to her just for a little while. But think about that. Now, she did it based on recognizing how I looked, based on how someone else looked. Okay? Jesus said, if you've known me, you've known the Father. He said, because I'm doing and acting and talking and doing everything my Father does. Think about that. Is that how we want it to be? You don't have to tell, listen, no, people go around, you got to wear our Christianity kind of on our sleeve. You know, we got to get a little badge that says, I'm a Christian. You don't need that. If you got to wear a badge to tell somebody, you're probably struggling trying to be one. You don't have to wear a badge. What about how we're just going to, what we're going to do in our own community? How we're going to act around folks? You know, folks could wear the badge and they just act up. And then it just brings a bad mark upon the whole Christian walk with God. What about just do exactly what we said we were going to do? Because let me tell you also who you're reflecting upon, the Father. You have to ask yourself next time you feel like you need to have you one of them fits. Maybe I'm in the wrong church. Maybe nobody in here has ever had one, and this is a shocker to all of you. But we've had them, right? Yeah. We want to say stuff we shouldn't say and act out because somebody hurt me, done me wrong, done something. You got to ask this question. Would my Father do it this way? Because some people, the only Father they see first is you. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father because I'm acting just like Him. Wow. Are you acting like our Heavenly Father? I have to ask myself that all the time. Would my Father do this? And you'd stop yourself from doing a lot of things just by asking that simple question. I don't want to do anything that's going to bring a bad mark on my Heavenly Father. Because remember, that's the one you're asking to raise you from the dead. You're asking Him for a lot now. I'm going to give you life again. I'm giving you life again. You're dead. Dead means what? It means dead. Dead don't mean living. Dead means dead. We have to have resurrection to live. Christ was dead for 3 days. Until He got raised from the dead, He was dead. But God raised Him from the dead. He had no excuse whatsoever not to raise Him from the dead because Christ was He was the splitting image of His Father. Anybody, boy, you look just like your daddy. I've heard people say that all the time. They'll see a little young boy running around. Boy, you look just like him. He can't deny you. Look at that. Look what I'm talking about. Who's your daddy, boy? I mean, you can't get around it. It's just the way it is, you know? And so that's what Jesus was. He was the splitting image of His Father. Anybody here want to do that? Listen, anybody just want to be in a crowd of people? And you're just there, and a situation happens. And after everybody goes home, they don't tell you, but they tell their neighbor, and they tell their friends. They'll call somebody on the phone and say, something different. Something different about that guy. There's something different. And this morning, all of my heart was is to come and engage you. That we think about these things. I just want to tell you, all of you here, I love you and I thank God for you. I said this morning before I got here, I said, God, you know every person that is going to be in that service. I have no idea who's coming, but you know every person. You know where their heart is. You know the situations they're going through. God, you even know the things they've been thinking about lately. And I'm going to ask you something. Would you allow the service to go in a way that it would match what they've been thinking, that it would trigger something in their hearts, and when they leave, they'd want to think about you. I said, that's the whole goal. You don't listen. It doesn't matter what I think. Just remember that. Just because a man can think don't make it right. It doesn't matter really what I think. What matters is what God's Word says. And I hope today that you see in my heart, I come here to just deliver the Word of God. This is what He said. We have an incredible Heavenly Father, and I want to reflect Him. I want to extend myself to just like He would extend Himself. And He proved that to us time and time again throughout the Word. And one way He proved that is by grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's been extended to all of us. There's not a person here that you can't have eternal life. That means forever and ever and ever. Once you're experience the resurrection, you will live forever. Every person can have that, but you can't gain that on your own merits. You can't gain that because you're a good person. You can't gain that because you've helped somebody. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved. You have to accept the free gift from the Father. You got to be willing to be adopted into the family of God. Anybody want to be in His family? I do. Anybody here want to be in His family? You ever heard this statement? I wish he was my uncle. You know why people make those statements? Because that uncle is probably rich. You know what we ought to say today? I wish he was my daddy. Well, guess what? He can be your father if you want him to. But he'll never force that upon you. It's up to you and I to make a decision in our own. We got to decide. You got to be willing to receive the word that was spoken today. Remember, receiving is an act of your own will. Nobody can will this for you. It's your will. You got to reach out, grab hold to it, and pull it in. It belongs to you. It's receiving. And sometimes we don't realize how our receiver does work. We can receive bad information and be discouraged all day. We can receive good information and be encouraged all day. Well, I hope that today I was able to deliver to you good words, words of encouragement, challenging words, and that you're willing to receive. Reach out, grab hold to it, pull it in and say, I'm going to do something with this. And remember, when you're all alone and no one's around, just look up and say, Father, I know you love me because of what you did in your word for me. And I just want to tell you, I love you. What's going to happen is going to be an igniting that takes place of a relationship that's going to start. Are you going to know everything you need to know? No. But you're on your way. And every day, you take another step to know who he is. The next day, you do it again. And I've been doing this for a long time, and I am excited about today when I woke up to take my step. And I can't wait for tomorrow because I'm going to take another step to know who he is. I want to know more about my Heavenly Father than I ever did. And I know if I keep maintaining that hunger to know him, no matter what happens to me in my life, though I die, my pursuit for God is going to be shown to me for when the resurrection, he said, of the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. No more pain. No more sorrow, no more sickness, nothing. There'll be none of that. You're going to be completely whole in the presence of your wonderful Heavenly Father. Would you stand to your feet? We're just going to pray and ask God that the things that were said today would ignite something in our lives. You can make decisions right where you are. So God is very keen and clear in how he sees things. He knows our hearts. Sometimes we do things out of emotion, and it shows everybody else we mean business, but it doesn't show God we mean business. God's just simple. The way God is, he just says, listen, you ask. Just ask me. So I'm going to encourage you to take some time as we pray to ignite that interest in the Father and grow in the Father's love, grow in his in that relationship with the Father. If you've never had that, maybe you've never heard it this way. Maybe it's never been explained to you. Well, if it hadn't and God saw to it that he worked out every detail in your life to get you in this building today. You may not see it that way, but that's a fact. You could have been in a different location at a different time and missed it, but God saw to it. Did he need me to say it? Not necessarily. I just yielded to him. He could have used anybody in this building to say what I said today. I am nobody special. I'm just a yielded servant to God. I just want to do what God wants. He could have used a child to speak these words today. He didn't need me to do it. I thank him that he allowed me to do it. And I pray that you would grab hold to these things and it make a difference in your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. You're so amazing. My heart is so grateful today that you give me an opportunity to come before you again. God, my life has been with lots of mistakes, lots of failures, but you graced me, and I appreciate that. And I just wanted you to know, Lord, that I never, ever, ever in my life ever want to do anything that's a direct assault against you and what you stand for. But I want to honor and respect you as my Heavenly Father, because truly, you're good to me. And I just thank you, and I realize your goodness through your only Son. You gave your only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And I thank you for that. And with understanding that, understanding who you are, I've accepted that in my life. And I'm doing everything that I can to be obedient to your word. God, I want to do what you require of me to do. And I'm asking you, Lord, that you would help me with anything, Lord, that you see in my life that I might not be doing. I want to make sure that I'm doing what you call me to do. God, you see your people that have come here today. God, even when we were out doing our thing, In due time, you said Christ died for the ungodly. We weren't right, but he died for us anyway. And you know, we want to be grateful in that. We want to thank you for giving us the opportunity you've given us. So I pray, Lord, right now, the word that was spoken, Father, that went forth today would sink deep in the hearts of every person that's here. God, that their lives will never be the same, but they'll recognize the word that went forth, receive it in their own lives, and begin to pursue a relationship with you as their Heavenly Father. God, they may be for the first time in their life going to speak to you as their Father. And I pray, Lord, with the moment they do that, that something would be ignited in their lives that will be life-changing. God, it'll bring about in their life just amazing thing. God, just like I've seen you do it many times, and especially when you did it in my life. And I thank you for that. So I pray encouragement to each one that's here. I pray, Lord, over our fathers that are here, that you would bring encouragement to them. Lord, for every person here, every son, daughter, every wife that's here that may have lost their father, I pray, Lord, that you would bring encouragement to them today. God, that they would just be strengthened by the fact that they could call you Father. You said you're a father to the fatherless. You're a father to the widow. We just thank you for that assurance, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you for every person that's here. I just pray, Lord, right now, through Christ and what he did for us at Calvary, I thank you, Lord, that the very stripes that he received upon his back was for our very healing. And I speak healing in the name of Jesus throughout this building. We thank you, Lord, that you're still doing what you said you would do. And I just pray, Lord, that it be ignited in every person's heart to receive, receive, receive what you have done. We thank you for it, Lord. We honor you today, and we give you all the glory. Truly, you deserve all the praise and the honor for being such a wonderful, wonderful Father to us all. We love you for it. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What an incredible God. Thank you so much for being with us today. Brother Josh, would you come and dismiss our service?